الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. A few reminders as usual. First, that we should realize that it is the day of Jumu'ah, which is the king of the days. خير يوم تطلع فيه الشمس يوم الجمعة. So we should have that honor for the day of Jumu'ah. And all the a'mal which are required for the day of Jumu'ah, we should try and do all those a'mal. And that the barakat of the day of Jumu'ah are so great, and one of the great ibadat is Durood Sharif. We should read, and each one ask ourselves now, am I reading, have I read today any Durood Sharif? Every day we should try and read 100 times Durood, which only takes 2 minutes if we read Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not even 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes. And on Jumu'ah, we should try and increase our Durood and Salawat. Also on the day of Jumu'ah, every day we should read the first 10 ayats of Surah Kahf every morning, and every night read the last 10 ayats. And on the day of Jumu'ah, read the whole Surah. And this is all not only for talking and hearing, but it is to make amal. If we are practicing, then we have heard, and then we are present. If we are noting also everything, but we are not practicing, then it is nothing. It we have to be practicing. And then also, after the Salat of Jumu'ah, to read this great wazifa, Subhanallahi al-Azimi wa bihamdihi, just 100 times, and 100,000 of our sins will be forgiven, and 24,000 sins of our parents. If we read every Jumu'ah, 52 Jumu'ahs in the week, 50 times 24,000, how much of our parents' sins will be forgiven? How much of our sins will be forgiven? But unfortunately, very few make amal. Each one asks ourselves, am I reading this after Jumu'ah? We are hearing it so long, but how many of us are reading it? Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. And then we should be making dua very passionately and consciously for Palestine, for Afghanistan, the earthquake there in Herat, and the whole ummah. And who normally we regard as difficulties and hardships, what problems have come on our dunya. Now that, for example, the bombing, no food, no lights, no water, this we regard as difficulties. Whereas the real difficulties are that the ummah by and large is not making namaz. That is a big musibat. That we are not observing Islamic appearance, we ethos. We make so much of tashabbu bil kuffar, so much of ikhtilat and mixing with the kuffar, that we don't think of anything wrong. For that also we must make dua for the ummah. But we are not even conscious of that. As we are conscious of the other difficulties, that also to what extent? Each one see that am I making dua for Palestine? Just that I think I'm making dua is not dua. That when did I take out time, 1 minute, 2 minutes to make dua? Have I got a minute or 2 minute slot in my 24 hours for dua? Or have I got no time for dua? And just after Faraz Namaz, we pick up our hands. Mostly that is just customary. Hardly any of us make dua. Even the imam, he just recites some duas. Reciting of dua is not dua. Dua is to beg from Allah Ta'ala. And how a beggar begs, like that you should beg. And from the beggars also, we should learn a great lesson. That they don't leave you, they run after you. They try all the ways that you should give them something. Like that we should be begging from Allah Ta'ala. We have to learn even from the beggars. We haven't learned to beg also. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq of dua also, inshallah. Then carrying on with our subject of last week about the beard, there are a few aspects that were left out, and just a little bit recap summary again, that the beard, what is the beard? The hair that grows on the lower jaw. In Arabic we call it lahiyatun. The lower jaw is actually called lahya. In Urdu, Gujarati also, we say dari. Dhari is also from dhar, the lower jaw, the hair that grows there. Then it is compulsory to keep the beard. It isn't, some people feel if you keep the beard, it's good, you get sawab, you are pious now if you keep the beard. It's not a matter of being piety, it's a duty for every Muslim male that he should keep the beard. So it is wajib, and wajib, as far as practice is concerned, is compulsory that we should keep the beard. And then all the details of the beard, now the sunnat beard, to keep the sunnat beard is compulsory. For that, the area that it covers, and the area it covers is the lower jaw. If you open your mouth, and then you can feel your lower jaw, that is the area. Another easy way to identify it is where the two lips meet, and to the front of the side burn, that area, till there. Below that is the beard. Above that is the cheek. And the hair on the cheek is permissible to remove. But we must not go so down. That is where many people who do keep beards, this is an area where they also slip up. And we should have that feeling, and in a nice way where we can, we should inform them. Many people, even ulama, pious people, they have got beards. And Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi said that if you remove the beard to the extent of one hair's breadth, less than what is required, the guna, the sin of it, is equal to keeping no beard. Like a person completely shaves his beard, a very, very big sin. And if you just make it one hair less than what is required, both the sins are the same. It is like you kept no beard. So that should stir us on to worry about ourselves. Is my beard within the limit correct or not? And for other people also to tell them, they are keeping beards the whole life, but it's not the required amount. Like a person, you know he's making namaz punctually, but you know he doesn't make wudu. You will try and tell the person, you're making all the sacrifice, you're making namaz, you're taking out time, but because no wudu, your namaz is not accepted. So make wudu, please make wudu, and then make your namaz. So just like that, you're keeping the beard, but you're not keeping it the required amount. You're taking the trouble, you're keeping the beard, but it will be counted as no beard. So that amount, what is the, from the front of the sideburn to where the lips meet, below that, if you go down, what happens? A person trims little, then he goes lower, and he makes like a L shape. Or he keeps what is called a French beard, just a thin line. Or like some people keep what is called a goatee, just on the chin, the beard. Or an Arab beard. The common Arab beard is, it covers the whole area which is required, but it's not a fist length. It's just a little bit, just about a centimeter, just some hair. That is also not sufficient. So the area it covers must be complete. And then at the bottom here, also you can feel your jaw. That area, that hair must be kept. What grows away from it, that it's not necessary, it's permitted, you can remove that hair. But the best is just leave it, there is no need to trim it there. But it is permitted, what is away from the jaw, that hair you can remove. So that is the area, the length is a first length. As Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Musa alayhi salam said to his brother Harun alayhi salam, La ta'khuz bi lihyati. Don't catch me by my beard. When he was very angry on him of what happened, but Israel started worshipping the calf and he did not stop them. So he became very angry on him and he held him by the beard. So only if it's a first length can you hold somebody by the beard. If it is just a little, half a centimeter, or just 1 centimeter, you can't catch him then. When it's a proper first, then you can catch him, and he shook him. It can only be possible when it was a proper first length. So that is the length that is required, and from all three sides, that must be. Then with regard to, that was left out, the baby beard. The beard that grows under the chin, that is called a baby beard. And the peculiarity of this baby beard, whole life it remains a baby. It doesn't grow up. This beard remains a baby beard whole life. And it's got one bad habit, this baby beard, that always the hair comes into the mouth. When you are eating, etc., this hair comes up. So the example of that, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, and was a master in this field, and in all his fields, he should to normally to speak on the beard, people don't like it. It's a sensitive topic. And there are many people who haven't got beards and they feel it's a direct attack on them. And in front of everyone, they feel we have been disgraced, we have been humiliated, the beard was spoken about. And it's like a farz to keep, it's a compulsory act. And in front of all, we are like fajir, fasik, open sinners. And sinners of a major sin that we are doing openly. So they feel very bad about that. But our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali should present it in such a way that everyone, even those without beard, they also would be laughing through the bayan. He would present it in such a way that they would be also accept it wholeheartedly. They will be in fact happy and they will be laughing and accepting it. This was the kamal of Hazrat. Okay? Baat ki baat or laat ki laat. You said what you had to say, and you gave it to him what you had to give. You told him properly, but you said it such a way that he was very palatable. He accepted it wholeheartedly. So Hazrat should explain that this baby beard, it comes in the mouth. It is just like your little baby that you have, your 1.5, 2-year-old child. They will come, and what is in your mouth, they will put their finger in their mouth and take it out from you. They want it, that sweet or whatever. So when they put their little fingers in your mouth, you don't bite off their fingers. Nicely, you take it out. You take out their fingers. So the beard also that comes, so don't cut it off. And this, the little child, they are usually quite stubborn. But this beard is not stubborn. All you do is just put some water and rub it a bit, it stays down. Or take oil and put it, it stays down. So it's not stubborn that it will still just be coming up. So it's very easy to control it. So the baby beard must be kept also whole life. Though it doesn't grow up, it remains a baby whole life. And it will just take your wet fingers and just rub it a bit, it stays nicely down. It won't come in your way. Now I put oil, it's even better. So that is one aspect also. And another aspect of the beard, in which there is an ishkal also. And the jawab of the ishkal also. That every sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which includes the beard, is most beautiful. There is no doubt about it. The lifestyle of Nabi, the greatest beauty that there is in the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most perfect system, which Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say, that the beard, the sunnah, akmal tariqa hai. It is the most perfect way. Ajmal tariqa hai. The most beautiful way. Ahsan tariqa hai. The most easy way. Like the beard, if you don't keep a beard, so lot difficulty. Every day you have to stand in front of the mirror and shave. It costs you time, which is today very valuable, and usually in the morning when people are rushing to go for work, etc., that time is even more valuable. And now you have to stand in front of the mirror and you have to be shaving your beard. And then you need a razor. And then you need a shaving cream. All that. So it's a lot of things. And worse than all of that is that the skin here is very, very delicate. And now you are coming with your razor and you are attacking it. The skin cringes. It can't accept it. Just to explain that a little bit, people who have walked in the jungles, and they walked without a knife in their pocket. Then nobody interfered with them, animals or anything. But if you just have a knife in your pocket, a gun in your pocket, they sense it. The animals also sense it. And they are hostile to you then. Even plants, if you go near a plant with a scissor, with a knife to cut it, the plant also cringes. It senses it. And if you go without, you go and smell the plant, the rose, and you just put your hands over the petals, you enjoy it. They feel very, very open and very receptive to you. So the skin also. And scientifically, it also has been proven that the nerves which are with the skin, yeah, at your beard, has connection with your sexual organs. And when you attack it, sexually you are making yourself weaker. You are lowering your sexual strength. So that connection is there. So when a person shaves, and therefore it is, that usually these people who shave and that, their fertility is very weak. And those people who look after themselves, who don't masturbate, etc., don't commit their guna, their fertility is very strong. What is a man, really is a man, you will see, who has got a beard and he fulfills the demands of the beard. That he doesn't masturbate, etc. He doesn't, even just looking at porn, looking at woman, it weakens a person. It mellows down and makes the semen of a person, makes it more watery, and it comes out more easily. And when you don't look, that semen of yours is of a very great and good quality. And then those people who have their children also, health-wise also, they are formed, everything in their body, because they are made of that semen which is strong. So they are good. And when it is, you stayed away from guna, then those children are also pious. But when you have weakened yourself, and you have filled your whole body with gunas, then the semen also has that effect. Then we say the children are disobedient. But it is we, our supply of the raw material, we supply that raw material. So it is very important that a person looks after himself. So the shaving of the beard, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, has explained a very beautiful point also, that if a person, Allah protect us all, which is a very big guna, commits zina, adultery, then it comes in the hadith, iman goes out of him at that time. Commentators of hadith give various explanations. One is it goes on top of him to protect him from the azab of Allah, but it's gone out of him. When a person is in an act of adultery, that iman goes out of the body at that time. So at that time you are in sin, you are in a big and you are in big danger. Your iman has gone out of your body also. And so that is, but for that period that you are committing adultery. And then of course the effects of it will remain. After you have finished your act of adultery, the iman will return, but you are still in a state of impurity. Napak, you have to bath. Until you bath, the effect is on you. And after you bath, still the effect is on you until you make sincere tawbah. Then it will go away. So till then. But on the other hand, and you will feel guilty. Almost every person who commits adultery feels guilty. And he feels very bad about himself. That I commit this sin. I'm committing this sin. How terrible it is of me. But on the other hand, a person who shaves his beard does it openly and publicly. He doesn't hide away and do it. It is also a major sin. To shave the beard is also a major sin. And a person does it publicly. And he walks around with everyone, in front of everyone, in a state of being a fasik and a fajir. Sometimes he gives azan also in that state. He makes imamat also. Beardless people who shave their beard, if you are beardless, your beard doesn't grow, no problem. But you shave your beard and you make imamat, it's also a very, very big sin. And everyone's namaz is spoiled behind you also. And then, if you shave your beard, you are in ibadat also. You are gone for hajj. You are in Arafat. You have got a haram on. And your hands are stretched out, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. But your beard is shaved. What's the value of that? When you are sleeping, you are in guna also. You made wudu and you slept. You made two rakats of namaz and you slept. But you are shaving your beard, the whole night you are in guna also. Whereas the person who commits zina is only during that period he is in that sun. And the lesser sun carries on until he baths, until he makes tawbah, as it becomes left. But he is in guna only till that period. But the person who shaves his beard, when he's in namaz, he's in dua also. And in fact, it is. One person told me of his problems, what he's got. I noticed that he's shaving his beard. I told him, I can make dua. You also make dua. Allah answers your dua. And Allah's help comes also. But it comes in the hadith that there are for many people, their dua is accepted. Their assistance from Allah has come. But the guna is blocking that the effect of that dua. Like for example, a person is in a hospital, he's sick. He's making dua also. He's asking other people. People are making khatams for him also. They are making sadaqah also for him. They're doing everything. But the TV screen is right in front of him. And he's watching the TV screen. All what is on the TV. Allah's shifa has come. But that guna of his blocks it. The shifa has come right by him, by his head. It's there for him. But the guna is blocking it. So the beard also blocks Allah's rahmat. A person is in financial problems. And he's making effort. He's making dua also. Others make dua. And Allah has accepted his dua. And financial aid has come to him. It's right by his head. But his guna is blocking it. Therefore it's not coming. Other problems also. Husband, wife problems, fighting, arguing, etc. And you are asking for du'as, you are going for ta'weez. Ta'weez is not the thing that's going to sort out your problem. We are doing wrong, we are doing everything wrong. And just one ta'weez we get, and that's going to sort out our problem. It doesn't work like that. You have to sort out the causes of your problem. Find the correct solution to your problem. And Qudas are those things that block the rahmat of Allah tabarak ta'ala. Then the length of the beard, as we had explained, must be one first length. What is over a first length, then a little bit leave, but a bit more than that, cut it. Our Shaykh rahmatullah had explained, he was explaining this masala about the beard in Bombay, and there was one Haji Sahib whose beard was right till his navel. Long beard like that. And when he had to go for istinja, he had to put his beard under his armpit. Otherwise his beard will become napak. So long beard, and as you bend to make your istinja, your beard will become napak. So we shouldn't keep it that long also. Not that short. As far as the beard explained, there is one is the Arab beard which covers the area, but it's just about half a centimeter or something. And the French beard, which is just a little line, and many people like a L shape here they have. They have cut out the hair on the beard also. And they are happy we've got a beard. Or just a beard on the chin, which is called a goatee, like a goat. And also our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained that you'll never find a lioness that she has got a beard. A lion has got the male. The lion has a beard. And the lion, he is the king of the jungle. And the beard, a person who has, he is a real king. And he controls. If we fulfill the rights of the beard, live as Muslims properly. Like the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, by the power of their deen and their iman, they control the world. As far as the swords are concerned, they were like what we will say, like paper swords they were. They were like nothing. Old, rusted, weak swords. So that couldn't do anything. Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he goes to the court of Rustam, and in order to welcome, they had prepared the whole area with wonderful carpets. They spread out carpets, etc. As he went with his spear, he was making holes in the carpet. Those things had no value to them. Today, the dunya has got great value. That we have to see these people's dunya, what they are doing. But for them, Iman had full value. Every sunnat, every mustahab, every nafal had great value. And that is what gave them value. And that is what gave them power. And they controlled the world. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to be lying, resting in Masjid al-Nabawi with a brick, a stone as his pillow. And the people of Rustam, of Rome, of Persia, thousands of kilometers away, they should tremble at the just at the, his thought, the name of Hazrat Umar. But he was so down to earth. But what was that? They had Iman in them. They had Aman in them. So all these things. And of that, the beard plays a very major part also. And the beard, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, that would you like to look like a female? That you if you don't keep your beard, Hadrat also explained that one little child, when he saw somebody for the first time in his life with a beard, because the father was shaving his beard, so the child cried. So then the people told Hazrat, that's why we don't keep the beard. The children get frightened for the beard also. So Hazrat told him, no, he's not crying because he's frightened for the beard. He's crying because up to now he thought he's got two mummies, two mothers. And a mother is usually soft, sweet. So he wasn't frightened. Today he sees, he's thinking, this is my father. A father has got a beard. Hey, like the lion has got a beard. Lioness, no beard. Hey, now he's thinking, now, and every child is frightened for the father. Father is usually strict, is hard, is straightforward. Mother is usually soft. So now he realizes that he's got a mother, a father. And that's why he is frightened. So the beard is a great namat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and a great, great important integral part of our deen. Also, people, when you speak about this, you just speak a little bit, which is common with people, and we shouldn't be deterred by that. They'll say you carry on as if the whole of Islam is in the beard, whereas you are not carrying on like that. You speak on all the other subjects also. But just to put you off course, they got all this, the ways of taking you not to speak the truth. Various things people will tell that you are too hard, you're an extremist. You don't have to worry about those things. We have to speak the truth and we have to speak what our deen teaches us. People's criticism, we must not worry about that at all. The Quran is explicit on that, hadith and the life and the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very clear. They were never deterred by all the remarks and comments of people. And that is all what they can do. And our Iman mustn't be so weak. Just the words, the few words they explain, and that deters us. So when they tell us that you are speaking of the beard and you, the way you carry on, you'll perhaps give one bayan in a year in your masjid about the beard. But they'll say, whenever we hear, you're only talking of the beard. So that doesn't mean we mustn't talk at all. And doesn't mean you're not going to talk all the time of the beard also. There are many other things, but these are tactics people try to use to dissuade you, to take you away from speaking the truth. We shouldn't worry. So if they say the way you carry on, that the whole of Islam is in the beard, tell them that we know that the whole of Islam is not the beard, but the whole beard is definitely a part of Islam and an important part of Islam. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand the importance, to keep the beard, and more than that, to tell other people. For example, we know that the bayan which carries on in the masjid, normally which people listen to bayans is a Jummah bayan. But there are sufficient people who only come when the khutbah starts. And even later than that, they don't listen to a bayan. And no other bayan they listen to. But they are our friends. We mix with them. It's our duty to tell them. It's not only the duty of the Maulana to speak from the mimbar. It is every individual's duty also. And we mix with those people and we know their mizaj, their temperament. We know how we can address them. Everyone must have that concern how the beard and or the whole of deen can come alive. The people that we frequently speak to, etc., our business associates,
our other friends that we have, that we should have that fikr, concern. The least is to have that feeling in the heart, then to make dua, and then actually we should also try and explain to them. And they are our friends, there are ways that we can get around them, many other things we get done through them. For the sake of deen, we should also. May Allah let us understand the whole value of deen and bring the whole of deen into our lives. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.